Welcome to the Yoga Better podcast. I am your host and embodied brain named Andrew Dugas. This is the podcast where we look at everything that went into and continues to contribute to the style here in Houston, Texas called Yoga Better, an evolutionary style of movement and thinking. Welcome to season three. Very excited to get back to a monthly schedule. In season two, we said it'd be a three-part series. It's going to be a forever series. Here is episode three of Business and Relationship. In the process of recording this, we stumbled on me sharing one of the fundamental principles, founding ethos, driving motivating factors, and what it is for me to be a human being slash man, and what I find that is true for most men, blowing my wife's mind in the process. I think this was a fun episode, and I'm so excited to get these episodes back to you on the third of every month. Welcome to season three.
Hey, Yandria. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Your name is Andrea. Hey, Yandria. I'm sorry. Hey, Andrea. Hey, Yandria. Fine. Hey, Yandria.
What's your vision for your life?
Not really present to it right now. Healthy. Health is my vision for my life. Being all used up when I die. No stone unturned. Aging gracefully.
Do we have ice cream? Ooh, we should watch like a game because I'm going to bed in about an hour.
I like how you said that. Look at that cheeky little face.
Cha-ching.
She said about an hour. He's trying to gank some minutes off of his bedtime. Gank it. Talking about today?
Part three of working together.
This is not part three. This is part 5,000,000,062.
What are you talking about? We've only given two episodes.
I know, but I'm just thinking in terms of like...
In terms of what? How much, what it feels like to work with me?
Yes, but also like how much we've been through. I'll never forget the time you described to me the air conditioning at the symphony. And so now when I see open vents, I imagine the air pouring out of the air conditioning unit like a liquid. It's nice.
It is.
It's like a nice image.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a new person come to class today.
Yeah.
I said, how did you find her? She was like the mind, mind thing, the, it was like mind body. She really loved it. And she said, I never thought I would have to watch out for my injuries. And I, in that moment, realized how privileged I am because that occurred to me as like, how can you not know to take care of your injuries? Curse of knowledge right there.
Yep.
So I did not know that you could not know that. Just like the conversation I had with the lady who was slouching.
No, I'm not.
I'm not slouching like. What? Thought it was 2024. We all know we slouch. Not the case. I got a little confused teaching class the other day because, you know, we say shaggy do, shaggy don't. Oh, I've been saying the wrong word. Dang, that's what it is. I've been saying Scooby do, Scooby don't.
Okay.
And I was trying to figure out, well, how do I tie that into shaggy? And it's because I'm saying Scooby instead of Shaggy. So thank you for this moment of enlightenment.
I'm always here to help.
That is so embarrassing. I started talking about Scooby-Doo, and I was like, well, how do I tie this into Shaggy? It's like, you know, his name is Scooby, but we're just going to say, anyways, I got confused.
This is the thing about double entendres. They don't actually have to make sense.
They got it.
Right.
My class got it. Right. But I knew there was some confusion. It was annoying me. And so I'm very glad I got to bring it up with you in this very moment.
They say, this is a shaggy do, and when you walk like this, we call this a Scooby don't. Like, it doesn't actually have, there is no Scooby do.
I got it.
But, like, that would be the joke.
I said something like that.
Yeah. But sometimes we get trapped trying to make everything make sense. Like, the opposite has to make sense. No, Scooby don't.
Yeah, good. Well, it worked, and that is what I found to be true.
Is that so, what you do'd?
I do'd.
Like, we're sitting in a studio right now that is totally your passion project. Like it exists because you wanted it to happen. Okay, maybe I do most of the sweat work of like...
putting the floors in.
And like the why is coming from you. One of the big reasons I was so explicit about like, what do you want? And then when you answered studio, it's like, okay, great, go make it happen. Is just how easy it is for any partnership where one person has a clear vision and the other, you know, you're coming out of changing your entire careers, you, not being able to do the career that you had more than a decade of investment in, not being able to do it in the way you'd like to do it at the level you wanted to do it. But also like, oh, there's this other thing I really enjoy doing, which is being with my children, and I can't miss that. I choose not to miss that. I was talking about you as a yoga teacher, and I was like, you know, she hasn't been, I don't know what the context was. I was like, but she hasn't been teaching that long. It's only been 10 years now. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, she's been teaching a long time.
That's weird.
Yeah. And, but there's still a way this is sort of like your second life.
I feel like it's turning into my third life. I feel like my second life was children. Even though I did teach, I feel like I'm just now stepping into, and I feel like that's what we've been dealing with in our relationship also, is that I feel like I'm forging a new path that I don't know how to forge, and I don't know how to get there, and I've never thought of it. And it feels like my third life is about to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm mostly oriented to the children. Yeah. I mostly just want to be with them, but I know that if I don't have something else to pull me forward, then I'll be that lame mom. And I don't want to be that lame mom.
Sorry, moms out there. You just got judged.
Well, that's where I have nothing else. And then I'm an empty nester, and then I'm depressed because my kids aren't here. I mean, that's going to happen. I know it will. I want them to have a mother who's empowered and up to stuff that will drop on a dime to do anything for them. But I'm not, they don't have to manage me. Is my mom going to be okay? Will she have enough to do, kind of thing?
Well, they're all boys, so they're definitely not going to ever think that way.
I don't know. Caravaggio, Bodhi, you're both...
I'm joking.
Dagny's a girl, so it doesn't matter. Egon definitely is not thinking about me.
I'm thinking about your babies, right? The ones not out of the house.
Yeah, true. But yeah, so it feels like my third life.
I am persuasive and balding but charismatic and...
Balding but charismatic? Wow.
And I love the Barbie movie so much, but part of the critique... of Kendom, right? Of the world when Kens run the world, was sort of like poking fun at how it was supposed to land was guys walk in the world as know-it-alls, right? We distinguish know-it-all in our style very clearly. Guys walk in the world as know-it-alls, and they talk at and coach at. And it's like they're so self-absorbed, they're not even noticing that you don't care or something, right? The crazy thing is, as over-the-top as that whole scene was, in my world, the primary way men express love is by helping, is supporting. Like, oh, you need help with that? I'll help with that. Yeah, it was done in like a, they're obviously talking down there. It is a, oh, honey, you need to make sure the, I'm talking about Photoshop, like, yeah, Photoshop is annoying. It's fucking annoying. But the drive behind like this, I want to be a resource for people. I want to, like, oh, I can help. And I don't think about how annoying it is to be helped at. But for, to be a man, like, what is my fucking life for? I don't make babies. I kind of maybe protect babies, but now I can't kill people. So what the fuck is my life for? And it's like, to be useful is my purpose in this world. And I don't have, the men don't have any fucking thing else. Okay, and then we're programmed to be like ridiculously attracted to the baby producers who are totally not oriented to us once the babies get produced.
True, true.
And so it's this like shitty cycle where when I talk about parents and when I talk to new dads, like just be prepared to be the bottom of the food chain where you learn how to take care of yourself so that you can take care of everybody. But part of like, how else do I express love for you if I'm not looking at what you need and helping and like, here's this thing, here's this idea.
What's interesting about you saying that is there's a part of my brain that's like, but I want to help too. So how does, but it seems like it's a different help. Like it seems like it's a help, like I'll go make the money help. As opposed to, my
That's
brain is having a hard time processing. I feel like you're very unique in your ability to help and be willing to help, like all the things that you do. But
I don't think so. I think this is actually why most husbands and fathers aren't happy. Part of their experience is they're so not empowered. The experience is emasculated when they can't help their wives.
I'm surprised I'm having this like burp in my brain about that.
Yeah, it's not that women don't want to help. It's that you enjoy helping me It's a thing you enjoy.
Is that maybe why you don't like being helped? Is because you want to be the helper?
So the two, like with friends, I think it's one, maybe a little bit how I got put together, but two, I've also have a lifetime of practice. It's easier for me not to be helped because I have a lifetime of practice. Not being helped.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because you don't get help generally.
I obviously get help with regularity, but it's not, oh, I can't do a thing. That's not my first response is, I need help. I've never had the thought, I need help.
Wow. Whoa.
Unless I'm in crisis, which like that's what most men experience, right? They wait till shit falls apart and then they go get a gun. It's stupid. This is obviously like societal stuff. We're all inheriting. It's not one-to-one. And I think you're also doing the thing that has gotten us into fights a lot where you're hearing stuff about, I'm just talking about men generally, our experience, and you're not thinking about men, you're thinking about yourself.
Well, I was in a way, but I was also trying to fit what you were saying into what I experience, and I was having a hard time doing that.
Okay.
It just...
So you don't experience that your spouse is oriented to helping you?
Yes, that is absolutely my experience. Wait, I experience you as helping, absolutely, but I don't know that I would call it helping. It's a weird, I've never thought of this. These are all new thoughts I'm having.
Okay, yeah. It's not to belittle. We're not needed. None of my help is needed. One of the reasons I really appreciate how the Barbie movie was constructed is that stereotypical Barbie never got off on shitting on Ken.
She never enjoyed it, you're saying?
Everyone's celebrating. This makes logical sense that we take the government back from Ken. They brainwashed us and they got into it. But like, I'm not having fun celebrating their demise.
Yeah.
And then she went back and like got like, oh, you were miserable. Because everything you tried didn't work with me. I didn't care about you. I wasn't oriented to you all. That's for the masculine dude, like that's death. Mm-hmm. And so...
But you can also see it on his face every time.
But she can't.
She can't, yeah.
So that's helping. I want to help. Let's do something tonight. I want to be responsible for intimacy, be present, connection. Let's go to date night. For me, that's like troubleshooting, problem solving, action.
Interesting.
Towards the future to create a thing that we say we both want, but I know you're busy and tired. And I know that you could do it. In one way, it sort of feels like, how do I be a good boy? Like a doggy. You know, I can't go kill shit for the tribe anymore. So what's my purpose?
I just thought, go get those roaches. Houston, Texas.
And so what do? I fix the dryer vent. Oh, I get in there and I clean the dirty thing. And I don't fucking want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go in the attic.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I am just as disgusted as you are, but the wiring in the culture I inherited, like I want to help.
Yeah.
And so I sacrifice that part of me, that comfort, literally for you and the family. This is a very interesting time because in the 90s, I would have said I was a feminist. And I still think to be a man with any empathy or perspective, like I don't see how you can't put a strong foot in feminism where it's not women are better. It's like we get to like really turn down the volume on how easy it is to just live our lives and never be oriented to the experience of what it's like to be a woman. Of course, it makes me a better partner. It makes me a better helper because I actually know what you do want, right? Because I'm listening. And if you don't tell me, I spend years pulling it out of you.
True that. I feel like this word that we're using, help, there's something strange happening in my brain. Like I'm connecting some dots around helping that I never did before. I think that I did only think about helping as far as like I help. I feel like I'm the helper but not you. I don't help you. I mean, I can figure out a way to help you in a way that works for you. But in general, if I just go about being myself, being helpful, like that is a bad idea. But I never considered labeling what you do for me as helping. I mean, it is what it is.
Right.
But I'm still having a hard time calling it help because I feel like this word help is so puny. It's like I'm just noticing some issues I have with the word that I previous to now didn't know that I had.
Well, consider how insecure most men feel in relationships when that's all we got. It is puny. Literally how we love.
Yeah.
Like with Yoga Better, it was really important to me, we've said this before on the podcast, that it's not you getting lost in my dream. It's let's co-create a new dream.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. It's been really challenging for me.
Right.
I've been doing okay, I guess, but it's really...
And it still happens.
Yeah.
For for sure, especially in the beginning as a teacher, like really finding your voice. To me, this has been true for more than a decade. You're the best coach I know. What you can do in a 15 or 30 minute phone call. I'm around a lot of good coaching. I personally know and have received coaching from people that want to charge $80,000 for a year with them in mastermind or some shit like that. I see the results of a lot of people who are paid a lot of money for their coaching. You get better results, you're a significantly better coach, and you live a much higher percentage of the things that come out of your mouth. That gap, you're always in action closing. You don't claim to be perfect. You are continuing to work on yourself. You have a coach. I don't know what that looks like. Just like I made up this business model in yoga, we get to make up a business model where you love your day, you are hopping on a call, and you're the one paid $4,000 for the difference that you make. So my wife just had a hot flash.
Just me talking had about, one? I'm having one currently.
Talking about a new business model and her jumping in and finding her own voice. And then it's like, am I being Ken? Like the virulent patriarchal Ken when it's like, no, you should be a coach.
Well, is I would say maybe that, if that's what, I didn't want that.
Right. But I'm also a very good coach who can see what exactly I listen and hear what people want. And I'm willing to actually be the person that suggests, like, I'm hearing that you there's this thing you really want and you're not admitting. It's not a manipulation. Like, no. You can do it one way or another. It's not about me. But I do trust my listening. And so when I have vision, like, I'm excited about you having a podcast. Your podcast won't be as
masculine.
Interesting suggestion.
I was just kidding.
I was going to say as organized as Mel Robbins, right? You don't have,
you
want,
you're going to say
you're not going to have 20 people working on it. There's not going to be a $2 million budget, but in the beginning, you consistent posting interesting interviews, making it super simple, actually having like sharing your podcast, like sharing your unique vision and your unique process on Instagram. Like there's totally voice. There's a place for your voice.
You know, I've just been noticing lately this idea of loving yourself and being kind to yourself, it's really missing. Thinking about what you're saying, it is not kind of missing. It is missing everywhere in every corner of the planet. Anyways, I get excited about it.
Yeah, and not everybody's on Instagram and not everybody's on YouTube and not everybody's listening to podcasts. And so we also have a unique opportunity because we also have a footprint in Houston. Most of Houston is miserable. And there's human beings out there that we can help. And if you were doing another 20 calls a week, that's 10 hours, you're not driving to those calls. You are making more money than you've ever made. Like,
so many interesting topics.
Yeah.
I love that we're talking about the Barbie movie. So good. I really appreciated that movie a lot.
A lot of people react to the feminist message. And the thing that you do, all people do, like the mother, America, goes on the diatribes and how hard it is to be a woman. Did you relate to every sentence?
I mean, a lot of them, though.
Of course. A lot of them. Yeah, it's the majority, but not every. Mm-hmm. And just this ability to listen empathetically and not make it about you. Super childish to make everything someone's saying about you. I don't feel heard. Well, you never listen to me. Well, that's like non sequitur. And so for men, I suspect a lot of men push back on the experience of just trying to be empathetic. I can hear all of that stuff and have one foot clearly and like, okay, that's true for a lot of women. And not all of it has to do with men, right? Both are true. And not immediately make it about me. Like, I feel all those things. Mm-hmm. I feel trapped by my society and not free to be myself.
I was actually just thinking I have to look
a certain way. Like,
I was just thinking about having another Barbie movie with Ken. It's like to be a Ken.
His character's not complex enough, but yeah.
Well, his character isn't, but as I'm hearing you talk about what it's like to be a woman, my brain is like, but what's it like to be a dude? You know,
The advantage is there's no threat of violence if I don't listen to you.
There is not. Right? Nor is there any threat of violence with the children.
And because that's implicit, that's the thing that doesn't get talked about.
Let's spin some joy and wordplay and have spun some pun fun. It's the Punish Minute.
Am I shorter today or something?
No. You're always short.
Oh, why does everyone enjoy having cherries covered in chocolate over?
Covered in chocolate over?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because they're cordial. This is my favorite. I think you said this. I like to play solitaire with friends. Did you say that?
Mm-mm.
It's good.
It's good.
I want to drink slower, but I can't. I meant quieter. And it bends, bends, bends on the ring, and the ring, and the ring's on fire. And the wing's on fire.
What do you call 5G network for the mitochondria?
Jeez. You went real cellular there on us.
Cell service.
I was thinking more like, what did they call the frozen water that got knighted? Service. Oh, who liked to take care of people? What did they call the frozen water that loved to take care of others?
And had a bunch of bad habits.
And they got knighted. Service.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But nice.
And so you get I thought you were trying.
Get the triple.
I thought you were saying like they had to go to jail, and so they're serving time. I just had this idea. I want to look up the definition for help. To make it easier for someone to do something by offering one's services or resources. Help, I'm drowning. Okay. Assist someone to move in a specified direction. Assist someone to put on or take off. Serve someone cannot or could not avoid. I couldn't help laughing. Okay. As a noun, helping someone to do something. I'm redefining my relationship with the world's help. So what I am hearing is that you like to help. I can probably, but now that I know you like helping, that's helpful for me to know you like helping. I didn't distinguish it as something for you to exist and have purpose. It, to me, helping is universal. I love helping. And so I wasn't relating to it like it's a different thing for you to help than for me to help. And I'm now distinguishing it as like, and now I feel like, think of the color blue. You'll see it everywhere. Thinking of ways that I can let you help me, but also letting, not being so irritated when you don't let me help you. There's a significant amount of arguments we've had because you don't let me help you. And I now am present to at least that is a special thing for you to be able to help. And it really is okay if I don't help you. And not that I can't help you,
yeah,
or you shouldn't let me help you, whatever. That's shifted how I view our relationship. There may have been some resistance to you helping me before now, unconsciously. I don't know what that is. I'm just, it sounds so simple.
I think you like helping.
I do.
I need to eat. I need to help.
Yeah, that would definitely do that.
It does feel different.
Yeah.
For the 47 people listening to this, before we get comments like, it's so unhealthy if Andrew doesn't like, no, I actually... We train men to listen to improve men's listening, particularly for women. When we train women in leadership, we have to train in. If you're training a man and you suggest something, their first reaction is going to be no. I know that part of me, and I know that I'm always better by letting my wife contribute to me. But it's for me, like I have to switch gears to let you contribute and have a healthier marriage and have a healthy relationship with myself and be happier and healthier and all that stuff. It's embarrassing how little I let people contribute to me throughout my whole life. And part of my breakthroughs with you has always been how much I let you contribute to me.
It's funny. Your breakthroughs are letting people help you and my breakthroughs are not helping or helping less or using discernment with where I give my help. Because that's been something I've really, 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 really had to let go of with you is helping you. And I agree with what you said around like, it is unhealthy for you not to let anyone help, but we're talking about just fundamentals here. We're talking about generally how we get put together, and for any difference to be made, we have to know where we're starting. Speaking of.
So helpful.
Wow, wow, wow.
Need somebody.
Not just anybody.
I think this is where a lot of business partnerships go haywire generally, but also why so many people, particularly when we first started our business together, like, good luck with that. You know, man, your wife and blah, blah, blah. Like, there's lots of ways to run businesses together. For the most part, it's like total segregation of duties. We co-create almost everything. We're both janitors. We're both cheerleaders. We're both Instagram promoters. We both send emails. We like part of the test. The hippie phrase is it's easy to be a pacifist when there's no war on. If you're going to be a pacifist in the face of the Vietnam War, well, there's a fucking war on now. Mm-hmm. And if you burn your draft card, they'll put you in prison. Like, there's real consequences, or you have to fucking live in another country. Like, you can't just stay put. It's actually really easy. It is free to declare that I'm a loving, helpful person when there's no war on.
Yeah, for sure.
And to continually come back to love. So I'm so grateful for all my choices to jump into hard things early, like marriage, like fatherhood, and to not wait. I have no clue what I'm doing, and it was all failure. But just to see how, to get that real insight into myself, how childish I am, how unhelpable I am, and knowing that about me, you get that flavor, right? Like, there's voices in your head you just don't trust anymore.
Oh, yeah. I was actually, yeah, for sure.
You want to hear my new wisdom spiel?
Sure.
This is perfect for the podcast.
Oh, my gosh. Bring it on.
So, Socrates.
Socrates?
I always bring up Socrates to sound smart. His definition for wisdom is to know the depths of your own ignorance, mm-hmm. to actually go to the borders of everything that you know and to look out into the abyss, the infinity of all that you don't know. And I have a new way of saying that. The difference between knowing stuff and wisdom is when you collect data, you don't always know where to put it. When you know how little you know, when you can really see how little you know, another way of saying that is you have context for your knowledge. The things that you know where it is in the abyss of all that you could know. Things that you might react to as a 20-year-old, like I saw this headline, as an immigrant, I'm becoming disillusioned with the American political system.
What?
It's like, okay, well, that's perfect because why did you come to the U.S.? Because there's some idealization and you came and you didn't know. You actually don't know how fucked up it used to be and it's always been and how shitty elections used to be. How much dirty shit used to have candidates literally being assassinated, mm-hmm. public speakers being shot. It's been fucked up for a long time.
Yeah.
It's been crazy for a long time. And not to diminish that experience of hope being killed by actually seeing. But another way of saying that is like, you didn't know what you didn't know, and now you can actually see where your hopes were in the reality. Yeah. I am optimistic and positive for the most part. But I also keep it in the context of like, I could be murdered by a traffic stop,
yeah.
right? That wouldn't surprise me. It's like, oh, that actually makes sense. This is how it fucking go, that some bullshit happens with the gun-toting authorities that enforce our law for some reason, the society we live in. And being able to keep two things true, but also is sort of setting another way, like this is true here, but it's not true everywhere, or it's true here, but there's always bigger pictures mm-hmm. or smaller pictures. So wisdom is the ability to keep context and scale. And you learn that through experience.
Yeah.
Whatever you thought marriage was, whatever you thought relationships were, whatever
babies.
That children's were,
yeah,
children's was.
Like, children's was.
Yeah, I should.
Children's was.
Whatever you thought any of that was, when you get awoken to it, it was that way before you knew, now you know.
It's kind of like when I started dancing tango, it occurred to me as just a dance. Like I go to the club and I dance salsa sometimes. And starting tango, I was like, whoa, this is a whole world in here. Like a whole world. So crazy. That's true about everything though.
I'll tell one more story about tango and perspective. So before Andre and I were a couple, she started dancing in February of 2008. And so you just look so buff in that shirt. Strong.
Why, thank you.
So, do you work out?
Uh-uh. I work out.
I take that as a yes. So, we were at a, this is Salento. It's actually still open here in Tana. I don't think there's still tango there, but it's a tiny little place, very small place to dance. And when you walk in, the place you would sit is over to the right. If you kind of, and then all, every other part of the area just in front of the door was where you dance, and then you kind of walk by them and sort of almost stand on the dance floor to order. So I was sitting, for some reason I wasn't dancing, and one of our friends sat, and you danced by, and we're sitting in chairs, and of course tango is a dance where you dance standing, like most dances, except
oh, really?
For the horizontal tango.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay, one quick aside. A guy come out. This is, there's a little public area and another club I teach at. And he came out and he said, this is like 20 people in the little shoe change area. And he said, one of the good things about doing yoga with your wife in the room is when you start doing weird things in bed, she'll know what you're doing. And his wife was so mortified. She was like, oh, she made a big face.
Oh my gosh.
And everybody was like, oh my God, TMI. And I said, I interpreted it perfectly innocently. He's just talking about stretching. Bye, everybody. And I left.
That's so awkward.
Poor guy.
Sweet.
We are sitting butt height. People's butts are face height. We're sitting in chairs. People are dancing by
we're
us.
We're back on Salento's.
And sitting with a friend. And she says to me, I wish I had Andrea's butt. Andrea danced by. And Andrea's always had a pretty darn good butt. As long as I've known her, her butt's... A yoga better has made her butt.
Better?
The butt it is that today. The glorious thing that you all see and know and love. But
or not.
There's no one that doesn't. It's universal. It's the standard by which all other butts are measured.
I am shaking my head right now.
You're not moving.
Or what is it? I was absolutely. It was my eyeballs. I was shaking my head.
So Andrea's pre-yoga better, but still very glorious butt dances by. And this woman says, I wish I had Andrea's butt. And I don't know what to say to things like that. So I just, okay.
Cool. Nice.
Interesting. Groovy. That was the last song of that thing. The next four songs start, and so this person gets up, and you happen to sit, you come and sit down right next to me. We were pretty close from the very beginning. I was the first person to tell you you'd be a great dancer. We enjoyed dancing with each other. We went on that trip to Kansas City. Like, we did a lot of stuff together. You were very active in the scene, and so we were friendly.
Mm-hmm.
You sat down next to me, and on the first song of the next thing, so literally one song later, this other woman who has long legs and I would say no butt dances by in a little mini skirt. And you, like, you didn't say, I don't think you said anything else to me. You turned to me and said, I wish I had her butt. And to me, that's also part of this like wisdom experience conversation. Like, you wouldn't say that now. Do you ever look at other people's butts and say, I wish I had their butt?
I mean, maybe. I think women are very much oriented to comparing themselves to each other, but
is it the same?
It's only not the same because those kinds of statements came from my inability to appreciate what I have. I wouldn't say the same thing, but those thoughts are kind of still there. But I appreciate myself now in a way that was impossible to do back then. Like,
right.
That was, I can't even believe I appreciate myself to this day when I think of how I used to be.
Yeah. Well, we get to have an episode on body image and health and measurement, because in the teacher training we just had our conversation around comparison. I love that conversation because in the yoga world, comparison is supposed to be this terrible thing, and comparison is the stealer of all joy. People have all these negative conversations around it. It is literally the only way to measure anything is to compare.
Yeah.
And human brains are actually very good at comparison in real time. What they're not good at is comparing over time or to metrics that don't work. So maybe that can be a future thing. And maybe this, what we can do is have that butt story be the start of that other podcast.
You sure didn't compliment her legs? I was her
you
butt?
You said her butt. I wish I had her butt.
Interesting. I mean, I would say
of which
say
there
that
was none.
That's probably why I liked it.
Because yeah. Would you also say that you don't feel that way now, even though you can appreciate another kind of butt, because you have bigger context for your experience
sure,
of beauty
I mean,
and yourself and...
I have done a lot of research in...
To butts?
Kind of. what has someone feel beautiful? What is beauty? Because I've seen people who are beautiful, but they're not beautiful. And I've seen people that are not beautiful by, you know, standards, societal standards, who are beautiful. And so I also understand now that a lot of what I chose to want me to look like was based on something that doesn't exist. And also just because I thought it was like what I was supposed to do in some ways is hate myself and everything about me. I just thought that's what I'm saying. If I'm a good person, yeah. It was just weird thing in Catholicism with humility and being humble. That's a big no-no. And there have been many times in my life where I've dipped my toe in being confident and wow, did it bite me. Like super embarrassing moments. Like I will never forget. It's so embarrassing. Andrea and I were at Kids Toy Story. And we were standing in line, and I feel like I hadn't been around Andrea in a while. And then I can't tell you the process my brain was going through. But there was this kid who was playing with some of the toys, and you could tell he was kind of irritating his mom. And I had the sweet idea to support her. And so I was kind of engaging with the kid. And for some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to grab a toy and hand it to him, which then she had to get out of his hand so they could pay and leave. And it turned into like,
yeah.
And so there was a me that was, I was kind of being confident, like, oh, I know how to make a baby happy.
Yeah.
And so I was like helping out. And I looked at Andrea's face and she was like, oh God, like she saw it coming before I saw it coming.
Yeah.
This is like such an embarrassing moment. Like delete, delete, delete. I know kids better than this. What was I thinking? Yeah. Anyways, I've had some feel, they're not like big deals really, but in my, like the experience of them was horrifying. I also have to admit at some point, like I don't understand what beauty is. And so for you to, I mean, that was one of the most helpful things you did was tell me to look at myself through your eyes. And it's been interesting to discover what beauty is outside of what I already think. Because as we've already said, I'm not in reality about what beauty is because I wouldn't put myself in it.
Yeah.
But I trust you. And I used to hear compliments like people being mean to me. Like, oh, you're so pretty. Yeah, that's what you would say to someone you think is ugly. That's 100% right. Like dead serious. Or you're just saying that to be nice so I don't feel like I'm ugly because I am. It's just like so twisted.
Yeah.
And like doing the experimentation or the research around like, how is that going for me? It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm miserable and it doesn't matter anyways. So
yeah.
Appreciating myself the way I am. That's why it's like, color your hair. No, maybe one day, I'm not saying never, but I want to know myself at all ages. And maybe when I turn 60 or 70, that'll be the day. That'll be the day when I die. That'll be the day I call.
I hope you don't.
What?
When I turn 60. That'll be the day when I die.
That's a song I got that got triggered.
I know, but it's.
I know you know.
You do know.
I know that you know that I know
let
that
me,
you know.
Let me help you.
Oh, okay. Help me. I'm ready to be helped. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I want to be where I'm at. I want to know I'm getting older. I don't want to be surprised. Like already it feels insane that I'm 43. It feels ridiculous. My hair is as gray / white as it is. It feels unfair. It feels wrong. And this is my reality. I accept it. Because as we say, I'm as young as I'll ever be. And if I wait till tomorrow or next year, or if I color my hair and that makes me beautiful, which there's nothing wrong with coloring your hair, just personally, it feels like a stand I'm taking for aging in a way that I want to be able to love all parts of me in all ages, not just the ones I prefer. Either I love myself now or I don't. There's no alternative for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's not coming, guaranteed. And even if it is, tomorrow isn't now.
Right. Well, tomorrow never comes. So operating like there's some tomorrow.
It's just a waste. And, you know, it has been helpful having children. Because I know if there's a part of me that I loathe anything about myself, whether that be my age or my wrinkles or my cellulite, it's just, that's a barrier between me and them, not only to love me, but also like I am their model for how women are. And if they have it, like they're not supposed to age or something like that, it's just,
women,
I don't know.
Women are vain. They have to be pretty or they have no value.
But I do curl my hair now. So I don't know where that fits in. I do eat salads. I do very much care about how I look, but my parameters have dramatically changed and I'm way more accepting of me and all my little quirkiness. I've learned to fall in love with the dimples. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And the curly gray white hairs.
and still appreciate what an Instax does to your skin.
Oh, I love me some Instax. Love them. It's like time travel into my youth. I love them so much. Like right now, I look young in that picture.
Yeah.
It's just so sweet. I love those pictures. And they do erase cellulite. I mean, it's really nice. Note to self, bring that to Cassidy's bachelorette party.
That's right. And see those bets, girls.
You won't have as many dimples, I promise.
You're like,
not that anyone cares. They do not care about that thing. They do not care at all, which is why I love them.
More than 10 years younger. And they.
It doesn't matter. You have it anyways. 10 years younger.
I'm trying to say you're older than them.
I am hearing you, and I'm taking that out of here.
It's plain to see, and we all know that there is no poet tried. There is only poet do. So without further ado, let's get to it and get to the poet doing. By the way, I'm about to read a poem.
On our fifth anniversary. We're big now. A big deal. A big vow. Successes and debt. Huge bills at the vet. We're flourishing. We're big now. All our planning, like a meal committed to and made with care, but not a big deal in the big deal way, where ourselves are at stake. We let them come and go, succeed and fall, enjoying every morsel, intentionally burnt or no. We're big now. Our words carry meaning and weight. People want to hear why we're never late. We're here now. The land at the end of the rainbow we drew 6 years ago. Not a tall tale we self-told, but a target, ourselves, the dart, our dreams, the propellant, our love, the sharpened tip. We're big now. Like I've always told you, we're there now. This place isn't up here near our ears. Rather, it's under our feet. It's unmistakable. It's strange and upsetting. Can't be those people, that lovely you were, that lovely me was. We've been upset, capsized years ago by some simple words we spoke somehow through the joyful tears. We're there now. You and I are big now. From stature to reputation to fame, these moments are such sweet privileges. From our highest state of being, our loves, all-engrossing pitch, to our family, those babies we've raised, that future we've built, filling their tanks with crazy dreams, and we've got the lighter as soon they'll be off. Look at us. We're big now, with this and that on the burners, with this and that burning a hole in our pockets, and I feel it, and I know you do too, that burden, that mass, and yet a maniacal voice churns in my ear, a giggle with how fantasy is the thing I look at every day when I look at you. I finally caught up to you. You've always been so big, the jewel I coveted and envied at your root. Goodness, joy, love, the man I've become, and all I've done was by using you as the target. I didn't know if I could do it, but we're here now, giants. I guess I knew we could, since we worked so hard. I wish I could go back to that unknown so I could live it again and again, those times we made my favorite. My wife, I'm your man. Two big old people walking together in the same direction toward the next rainbow, and I want to see that look in your eyes when we get there. Fifth anniversary by me, Andrew Dugas.
No. Mind controller. No, hypnotizer. Mind controller. And then this guy is the, I can't.
That's okay.
It's annoying. And then this guy was he's the werewolf. Wolf? Werewolf?
Is it called a werewolf because you can't find him? And you have to be like, werewolf.
Yeah. He is actually a person that can, he can blend in, like, he can bring a people back to life. So let's say this guy died, he can come back to life, but just for a short little amount, and then he can't do it again.
The Yoga Better podcast is produced by Sarah Bellum here in Houston, Texas. For everything me and Yoga Better, from thousands of videos to trainings to more podcasts, visit yogabetter.com. And of course, big love, keep practicing, keep thinking.